Okay, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. I don't want to take up too much time on the parsha because we have a lot to get to today. But just two short observations on the parsha that I think are worth noting. Firstly, it's worth noting that in last week's parsha, we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we all know about Moshe Rabbeinu. We all know who he was and what he was and the legacy that he lived. The Rambam tells us there was no greater Navi than Moshe Rabbeinu. But what's always interesting to me about Parsha Shemois is when we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu, the way the Torah lays it out for us, so to say, or gives us insight into Moshe Rabbeinu's life, the way the Torah does so is not by what we perceive today as great people. The way the Torah shows us about Moshe Rabbeinu is his concern and care for others. His noisei b'olam chaveroi, he's worried about his fellow Jew, he's worried about animals, he's just a concerned, caring person. And I believe the Torah is teaching us that the defining factor of a gadol, of a great person, is not only defined by how much Torah he learned, it's not only defined by how many shtickle Torahs he said over, but it's also more defined by what type of person you are. The living being of the person, the midos of a person, are essential to who they are. For example, we find the Moshe Rabbeinu, after being told by Hashem himself that I want you to lead the Jewish people, he says, one second, I got to go home and ask my father-in-law permission first. And if Yisrael would have said no, who knows what the end of history would have looked like. Because Moshe Rabbeinu felt Yashrus is Yashrus. Hashem told me, but Yisrael was very good to me. Yisrael was a good father-in-law. He took me off the streets. He gave me a job. He gave me a wife. He gave me a purpose. I have to ask permission. These are midas. Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe, teaches all of us the importance of having good midas. Then we find later on in the parasha, the Alta from Slobotka points that out, that Moshe was hesitant to take the leadership role because he thought it would hurt Aaron's feelings. Because Aaron was the leader for 80 years and all of a sudden Moshe had come out of nowhere, coming from Midian and take over the Jewish people, that can possibly affect Aaron's feelings. And Moshe Rabbeinu was hesitant. It says the Alta from Slobotka again, we see how Moshe Rabbeinu's midos by and large define who he was. And I think that's something that we all need to take away from when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's not lose sight over the great human being he was, Ben Adam Lechaveroi. And midos and the way we act and the way we treat each other obviously is essentially and extremely important. I don't want to get too much into it, but we all know what happened this Wednesday in our city's capital and I believe the damage that was done for future generations on both sides of the aisle. And just the point always is we always point out that whatever happened is not what we believe in. We don't believe in storming buildings and destroying things and even hurting people. This is not a Jewish ideology. Although, sadly enough, it sometimes does take place in Eretz Yisrael, and we try to call it out when it happens there as well. But that's not the way who we are. We don't believe in such activities. We're concerned, caring, compassionate people. We're loving people. We're not people that go around destroying things and harming other people because we don't get our way or because we don't like the way things are going. So just to mention that in reference to the parasha, as we as Yidden are caring, compassionate, rachmanim, b'nei rachmanim, we are not terrorists, we're not domestic terrorists, we're not any form of mazikim. There's nothing that works its way into Jewish ideology whatsoever. Just one last var on the parsha, and we will move on. Someone told me this var b'shem Yerucham Olshan, I thought it was fantastic. Yerucham Olshan says in the end of the parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the B'nai Yisrael, comes to Pari, and Pari makes things worse. So he says to Pari, lo yisasifun, and there's an aleph in the word lo yisasifun. So Rabbi Yerucham Olshan said over from Gedalia Yeshua that part of what Pari made the work harder was he now made it that we can't work together. We have to work individually. Lo yisasifun from the Lashon of Aleph is an asifa. We're not allowed to work together anymore. And he said over that when Jews can't work together, that's really avodas perach. When we can't help each other, we can't work together. Pari made it that every Jew have to work separately. We can't work together. When Jews can't work together, that makes the work so much harder. And I believe it goes very nicely with the Yesod from Zalman Tzorotskin, who points out that what was Pari thinking at the end of the parasha when he said, you know what? No more, I'm no longer giving the straw. That was a bad economic move for Pari. He's going to lower productivity of building in Mitzrayim. So Zalman Tzorotskin says that wasn't Pari's purpose. Pari's purpose was to break the Jewish achdus. If two Jews are walking down the street and they see Tevin, they're going to fight each other for the Tevin. We turn Jew on Jew. Which is Mamash Zizvah from Rabbi Yerucham Olshan. The moment we're no longer working together, the Avoida is magnified. When we can work together, when we can help each other, and we're unified, it's manageable. But once we're turned against each other, once we're working separately, and once we're all by ourselves, it's a very different experience. Obviously, we don't need to get into the idea of being alone and being by ourselves. We lived it for the last couple of months. We appreciate what does it mean that we can get together, be together, and be able to help each other out in person and other modes. But it's a very important lesson that when Klal Yisrael can't work together, Klal Yisrael experiences avodas perach. I have to mention, I feel it's only respectable to mention the passing Rabbi Kelemer. the Rav for many, many years of the Ungizel of West Hampstead. I did not have the privilege of meeting Rabbi Kelmer in person ever, but I could say that I've heard amazing things about him from all different groups of people. From the left, from the right, upside, downside, in the middle. When you have someone that everyone speaks nicely of, that means there's something special about this person. And I heard from people that are extremely on the left, people extremely on the right, Rabbanim, lay leaders, everyone only had the most nicest things to say about him, had the most beautiful things to say about him. And I was reading a little bit about him. He has an interesting background. He learned in the Mir Yeshiva, he learned by Chaim Shulevitz, he learned by Reb Gifter. He was in Brookline, Massachusetts for some time before he came to West Hampstead. But you just have to look at what West Hampstead became today. It's a bursting, booming community right now. It's probably, I would have to say, one of the hottest places for young people are moving to, especially where I live here in Queens. Almost a mass exodus from Kew Garden Hills to West Hempstead, and it's continuously growing every single day. That was because of his leadership and his vision and his guidance and his levayas today. Again, he will sorely be missed. Again, this is a second great communal rabbi that we have to mourn in the last few weeks. Rabbi Schoenfeld a few weeks ago, and now another great, great leader. And it's really a loss for Klal Yisrael that these unbelievable leaders who really were there for everyone, for simple people, regular people, Rabbanim, Paiskim, he authored some Svarim, he was a well-known Paisik, and really a real, real blow for Klal Yisrael. I'll just say over one cute Vard, I heard B'shem. Yes.
I don't like to interject, especially, you know, because I want to get to the Gemara part.
Really?
I may have told you this, but I think other people would appreciate this. I'm going back over 40 years ago when Rabbi Kelmer was a rabbi in the Young Israel of Brookline.
Yeah.
And he came to the Mir on his year. He had a sabbatical. It was after being there so many years, he finally took a sabbatical and used to sit in the Ezra's Noshim. And he wasn't learning the Masechta that we're learning in Yeshiva. And I could tell you, every single day, he would tell us what Rav Nachum would say in Shir. And he was spot on from the cycle 14 years earlier.
Wow.
Every day at his man. I don't know if I ever told you that story. But he would literally sit there every day say, okay, this is what Rav Nachum is going to talk about. And he would tell us, because, you know, there was a guy there who was from Brookline who knew him. And me and him, every day, he would tell us what Rav Nachum would say in advance. 14 years earlier, the cycle, and he wasn't even learning the Masechta.
Yeah, wow, amazing. He was a special person. I had a Talmud man who just sent me, forwarded me an email that he sent Rabbi Kelmer a shayla in late November, and he responded to him at 11:55 p.m. So he was obviously a very busy man and always there to help people. But I'll say over one cute vart that someone sent me, b'shem Rabbi Kelmer, that when he was trying out for his position in West Hempstead, they asked him, what would you do, Rabbi? You know, everyone who's on the board of hiring a rabbi loves to ask these great questions. They say, Rabbi, what would you do if one of the members ask you, invite you for Shabbos meal, and you're not sure about their kashrus standard? So Rabbi Kelmer looked at the fellow and said, listen, I have 10 kids. No one's inviting me for a Shabbos meal. I don't have to worry. I thought it was a very profound and very cute answer on the spot. I think that really defined who he was, a real great man. And again, Yehi Zecher Baruch is definitely a loss for Klal Yisrael. I'm going to try myself to watch the Zoom Levaya. I guess I encourage all to do as well. Just to continue on, today happens to be the yahrzeit of my maternal grandfather, my mother's father, Chaim Henoch Ben Zalman Tzvi Witkin. He himself was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Soloveitchik. He studied by him for many years. Rabbi Soloveitchik gave him his first rabbinic position in Massachusetts, Everett, Massachusetts. And he was a rabbi in quite a few communities. He was a sheikhet, which was very rare for those years. His father was a sheikhet as well, was a Talmud of Slobotka. He got smicha from the Dvar of Ram, the Kovne Rav, as did many Slobotka and Talmidim, like Yaakov Kamenetsky. My grandfather was a rav in a few different positions in New Jersey. Most of the shuls he was a rabbi turned conservative, and Rabbi Soloveitchik told him that the moment it turns conservative, you have to leave. And he followed his rebbe. He left all these positions, and he ultimately, the Besayf Yom, if he was not a rabbi, he was regular. He did what I do. He said a regular Gemara Shir. He used to give an Ian Gemara Shir every single Shabbos afternoon. And his shul, at the end of his life, it was in West Orange, it was other different communities. But his passion, his love was Torah. He was a Marbitz Torah, he was a Loimei Torah. He was a big baseball fan. He liked the Mets. We used to talk about that a lot. But he was really a real Marbitz Torah, a person who spent his entire life learning. Always referred to his Rebbe. Rabbi Soloveitchik was his Rebbe Muvok. He talked to him, he spoke to him, he was very close to him. Today is his yahrzeit. I had the privilege of naming my youngest son after him, Chaim Henoch. So our learning today should be a schus. I know that he's taking unbelievable pride in the shir that we have here, because this is a shir that he used to give. I don't know how long the shiz was. I never sat through it. I do know he used to prepare it first on Shabbos afternoon. So he prepared it a little less than I prepare for mine. But I would imagine it was probably the Litvisha-style alumnus that he was familiar with, that he grew up with from his father, from his Rebbeim. So it's a real special schos that his yahrzeit falls out on a Sunday when we have our shir, and it should be a schos for his neshama on his yard site. Okay, today's learning should be a zchus refuah shleimah to Chaim Yeshua ben Hendel, as well as David. You're on?
Esther Sarah Bas Chaya Pesha.
Okay, thank you. Esther Sarah Bas Chaya Pesha. Okay, everybody. So we're holding over here in the Gemara.
Yehuda Arye
Rosh. Okay, I try you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you as well. B'soich Sha'ar Chaylei Yisrael. Okay, we're holding over here in the Gemara. The Mishnah said that one of the cases of people that have the din of Knasa Mefate is an Eishes Achiv, your brother's wife. So the question is, how can you configure a situation where your brother's wife is subjected to the concept of Einus Mefate? Because, one second, if she's married to your brother, so she's an Eishes Ish. If she's an Eishes Ish, if you live with an Eishes Ish, you get the death penalty. If you get the death penalty, there's no Knas. So that's the first question, is how do we come up with a scenario where your brother's wife is eligible for Knas? So the first answer is, well, they're no longer married. Fine. So you got to work out that your brother and his wife are no longer married. Fine. You also have to make sure that she never had relations with your brother, because if she had relations, she's no longer psula. If she's no longer psula, there's also no Einus Mefate. But when it comes to your brother's wife, there's another element that you have to work with. Because she's your brother's wife, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. And because there's a mitzvah of Yibum, the halacha is that opening Mishnah in the sixth parak of Yivam is Habal Yevimta. The Mishnah says that a person is allowed to do Yibum to his brother's wife, Bein B'shoigig Bein Ba'inis. You can force yourself on her. It could be an accident. You think you're living with your wife, and lo and behold, you lived with your brother's wife, if it's in the context of the mitzvah of Yibum, and the Yibum is still Chal. So the Rishonim are all bothered with, if my brother's wife falls to Yibum, then how can I be chayv einus for her? Let's say I rape my brother's wife. Again, makes the Chanukah party a little awkward. But yeah, you did it. You were ma'anis your brother's wife. Fine. But I was doing a mitzvah, because my brother's wife fell to Yibum. And what I did was a mitzvah. Why do I have to pay a knas? So that's the kasha that the Rishonim are all trying to figure out. How can you come up with a scenario where living with your brother's wife won't involve other dinim, which would negate the knas? So Rashi says over here, number one on the Mishnah, it says Rashi, Valeshes Achiv, Sheneskat Shaloi Lachiv. Yes, she had Kedushin to your brother. She had stage number one of marriage to your brother, the Girsha. They got divorced. Very simple. Once they got divorced, so now there's no Mitzvah Yibam. But Zot Rashi, She'ein Ba Misa Elokaris. What's Rashi speaking out over here? Rashi's saying, why do they have to get divorced? Because if they would still be married, she'd be an Eishes Ish. If you live with an Eishes Ish, you get Misa and Bezdin. Misa and Bezdin, there's no Knas. So how could the Mishnah say she gets Knas? You're going to have to say, says Rashi, their marriage ended. And once their marriage ended, now there's no longer Misa and Bezdin. Now it's just Karis. And we hold that on Karis, you don't say Kim Levi D'Rabamini. Now, we mentioned last week, it's worth mentioning again, why does Rashi say Sheneskat Shaloi? Why does Rashi say that they only had the first stage of marriage? Why couldn't they have the second stage of marriage, but they never lived together? Like we saw in Tosfos last week. Why does Rashi pick Sheneskat Shaloi, that they only had Kedushin? For the same price, you could have said that they had Nisuin, but they never lived together, and her Bersulim are still intact. So we mentioned that this Rashi is a riot to those Rishayim, the Rambam and the Torah, that once a woman has stage two of marriage called Nisuin, she can no longer get Knas, even if her Bersulim are 100% intact. Doesn't matter. Once you go through the second stage of marriage, you're called a nesua, even though you never had bia. You never had bia. The husband never lived with her. We have edim that show that so he never touched her. He never broke the besulim. She's completely a besula. Nonetheless, once she went through stage two of marriage, she loses her besulim. She loses her status besula. Therefore, she loses the knas. So this Rashi lechayra is a raya to that. Because why else would Rashi pick niskatsha? Why couldn't Rashi just say nis? This is what we all said last week. Comes along Taisvis, number two. Zak Taisvis. Valeshes Achiv Zok Toisus Pirish Rabbeinu Chananel. Toisus quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. The Parch of Yushami, asks Akasha. Eishes Achiv V'lo Yivami He Lo Yizkuk Aloi. Frekt the Tois Frekt Yushami. If she's an Eishes Achiv, she's my brother's wife. My brother's wife is obviously out of the picture. Meaning Tois Yushami starting with the point that the husband's out of the picture. Why? Because if the husband's still in the picture, they're still married, then there's no Kanaf because he's getting Kim Lebed Rabamin Hey. So we got it. The husband's out of the picture. Now we all know. There's two ways for the husband to be out of the picture. One way the husband's out of the picture is if he dies. And the other way the husband's out of the picture is if he gives a divorce. So Frekt Yushami, where's the husband? So he assumes from the get-go that the husband died. So Frekt Yushami, if the husband died, so then there's Yibam. If there's Yibam, there's no Knas. So how do you learn the Mishnah? Now what's the obvious answer? They got divorced. Like Rashi said. But we'll see, Tosfos didn't seem to think that that's a possibility. Taisa didn't go that route, or the Yushalmi didn't go that route. The route the Yushalmi goes is that there's a death. So Zok Yushalmi, She's supposed to marry him. How can you say he gets knas and kares? Umishani and Yushalmi answers, where the first husband died, had children from a previous marriage. So since he had children from the previous marriage, there's no mitzvah of Yibim anymore. So how did Yushalmi answer the kasha? Yushalmi answered the kasha by circumventing the entire problem. By saying, Avada, he died. Aye, but the problem is if he died, why is there no Yibim? The answer is there's no Yibim because he already had children from another marriage. So Reuven, who died, had children from another marriage. Then he was married to this woman. Then he died with no children from this woman, but there's still no Yibam. That's the way Yushalmi gets around it. We mentioned last week, other Rishonim get around it by answering that they were only brothers from the mother. They weren't full-blown brothers. They were only brothers from the mother's side. And brothers from the mother's side doesn't have a mitzvah of Yibam. I saw some other creative answers that there's a din called Eishes Achiv Shaloi Hayu Ba'alamai. That if the two brothers never lived together at the same time in the world, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. So that can also be a scenario where Reuven was married to Leah, Reuven died, and then only later his brother was born. Then there's also no mitzvah of Yibam. So there's some creative ways to bypass the mitzvah of Yibam. Now, the obvious kash over here is why didn't Tosfos just answer like Rashi? That they got divorced. Simple. You know, divorces happen, right? Just answer, they got divorced. So we'll see in a second the Sukkas David Kriyat, is going to explain to us why Rashi said what he did and why Tosfos said what he did. But let's just finish one more line. It says, Tosfos, the Ayrim we're talking about, B'meis Mino Erison. He died after Erison. Again, why does it have to be Erison? Why can't it be Nisuin? So again, we mentioned this is a raya that Tosfos seems to hold, like Rashi, like the Rambam, that once you have Nisuin, there's no longer a shaykh to have Knas. The problem is, it's a steer at the Tosfos we learned last week, because we mentioned last week that there's a Tosfos, the Tosfos right before this one, Tosfos over there is Mashma, Kvega pointed this out, that Tosfos was Mashma, that even after Nisuin, as long as there's no actual living together, you can still have Knas. Okay. So Tosfos says, we're talking about that the husband died after Erison. Says Tosfos, this is Tosfos talking, not Yerushalmi. V'u'adin da'havi motzi lukma kishagirsha. Oh, says Tosfos, we could have said it was divorced, but Yerushalmi said death. So Tosfos is at least acknowledging that divorce is another option to answer up the Gemara. Now, so, but Yerushalmi doesn't go that route. Why not? So if you look over number three, the Sukkas David of David Kriyat writes like this, Hine, v'Yerushalmi le'rotza lukma kishagirsha. Why would Yerushalmi not want to just learn like Rashi? They got divorced. Simple. It solves all the problems. There's no Yibam because they got divorced. There's no HSH because they got divorced. It solves everything. Tosfos, the Yerushalmi got himself into a pretzel. He made him that the husband died. And he also made it that it was only after Erison. And he also made it because he had kids from another marriage. Well, why all these akimtas? Say Pasha, there's divorced. So he gives the obvious answer, which I'm sure many of you are thinking, that what? Shum deloshin eishes ochev mashmi yoyseh shi almona. Dakati agide bei nisui ochev. When you say they got divorced, it's a little hard to still say that's my brother's wife. You know, they got divorced. They went separate ways. So if the husband died, so you can still deherit, you still view it. You know, it's like this in the world also. If a person gets divorced, you don't say, oh, that's my brother-in-law, that's my ex-brother-in-law. But if someone dies, they're still the brother-in-law. So therefore says the Reb David Kviat, Yerushalmi thought that to say we're talking about a case where they got divorced and you're still going to call it Eishes Achiv. Why is she your brother's wife? She's your brother's ex-wife. They don't even talk. They don't get along. They don't, you know, whatever. They're not connected anymore. The terminology is off. And therefore, says Reb David Kriyat, that's why Yerushalmi didn't want to go like Rashi, that it's a divorce. Because it doesn't fit with the Lashon of the Mishnah. Okay. So now the question gets back on Rashi. So why did Rashi make it divorced and not just make it that he died? So says Reb David Kriyat, the Rashi le'rotz alok me'bishesh le'bonim, and Rashi did not want to establish it that we're talking about when he had children. Why? The loika toni lo b'masnisin. He says, because there's a lot missing in the Mishnah. According to Yerushalmi, you have to read, when it says in the Mishnah, Eishes Achiv, Umayri B'Sheyesh L'Banim Isha, it's a huge akimta. You have to read a lot into the Mishnah that's not there. Therefore, perhaps the reason why Rashi did not want to go like Tosfos, that we're talking about a case of where the woman died, and the husband died, but he had children from a previous marriage, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. There's no mention. So therefore, you have to kvetch it into the Mishnah. If you have to kvetch it into the Mishnah, we don't want to do that. So explains Reb David Kriyat. So that's what Rashi says what he did, and that's what Tosfos says what he did. Now, the Shita Mekubetzes takes it. Let's see one more Ma'ar Mokum, and then we'll come back. There's an interesting Sefer over called the Sefer Ha'orois Da'afiki Ayol, Who was the Ha'aris of the Afika Yal? Reb Zeidel Epstein. Who was Reb Zeidel Epstein? Reb Zeidel Epstein was known as being the Mashkiach in Torah Ar by Pinchas Scheinberg. Now, the reason why he got to Pinchas Scheinberg was Reb Zeidel Epstein was a Talmud in Grodno. He learned by Reb Shimon. He learned together with Reb Gusman, and he knew Reb Pinchas Scheinberg from those years. Reb Zeidel Epstein ended up coming to America. He was actually the Manal in RJJ for many, many years. And then he decided to make Aliyah. He went to Eretz Yisrael, and he ended up living his end of his years. He was the Mashkiach by Reb Pinchas Scheinberg in Torah Ar. But they say about Reb Zeidel Epstein, a fascinating story. Reb Zeidel Epstein learned in Grodno together with Reb Gusman. They were Chavrusas. And they used to finish learning at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they used to go back to their lodgings. And they'd get up the next morning. They'd get up in a few hours. But Reb Zeidel Epstein lodged in Grodno by a grandmother. And he used to wake up very early to go learn. And he was afraid that if he's going to allow someone to wake him up by knocking on the door, he might, by mistake, accidentally wake up his grandmother. So when he used to go to bed every night, he would tie a rope to his foot. And then the next morning, the rope would dangle out the window. And his chavrus would pull on the rope and shake his foot. And it would wake him up. And that's how he used to wake up every single morning. That was Reb Zeidel Epstein. So Reb Zeidel Epstein was one of the Talmidim of Reb Shimon. He was very close with Reb Gusman. Now the truth is, I owe the Olam a story from last week. I forgot to say it over. With Reb Leib Malin. Reb Leib Malin and Reb Gusman. So I'll tell the story now. Reb Leib Malin, we mentioned last week, a shtickle tire from him. Reb Leib Malin was the Altamirs. When the Altamirs came to America, they were not convinced that you're allowed to eat the milk of Tuscan companies. So one time, Reb Moshe gets a phone call in the bungalow colony from Reb Leib Malin. And Reb Leib Malin is basically arguing with Moshe's Nakuda that Chol of Yisrael is, that Chol of companies is Mot. And he's very strong about his point. And Reb Moshe says to him, you know, have you ever heard of a Yid named Reb Gusman? He says, sure. I was Chavrusas with Reb Gusman back in the day. And the classical answer of two Holocaust survivors always is he still alive? And the answer was, yeah, he's still alive. And he's here in the bungalow colony. And he holds up my heter. So if that okay, can I put him on the phone? He'll explain it to you. So Reb Gusman got on the phone. He explained to Reb Leib Malin and Reb Moshe's side. And he calmed him down. So they say over that he calmed him down, but Reb Chaskel Levenstein was not calmed down. Reb Chaskel Levenstein, another Altamir, he wouldn't drink the milk until someone actually watched it. But that was the Maisa. Once he told it to Reb Leib Malin, once Reb Gusman told Reb Leib Malin, so Reb Leib Malin was already calmed down. He felt comfortable hearing it. Because again, a lot of these people didn't know Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe was on a different side of the world. Reb Moshe was in Russia. Reb Moshe was far away from this Lithuanian Grodno world that these Gedolim were in. So they didn't really know him so well. But when Reb Gusman said that Reb Moshe said, then Reb Malin was comforted by that idea. So Reb Zeidel Epstein over here has a nice shtickle Torah over here, number 5. He's bothered with another kasha, which is interesting. I was going through my notes last week when I learned Ksubas in Yeshiva about 20 years ago. By my Rebbe, Rabbi Yankel Bergman. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He's a Rebbe, he's a Rav here in Kiran Hills, in the neighborhood as well. Big Talmud Chacham. And he asked the following kasha, which I thought was a little funny. Then I saw Taka, Reb Zeidel Epstein asked the same kasha. There's a big dion in the Paiskim, Rishonim, Achronim. When you do a Maisa Yibam, do you have to have Edom? Do you have to have Edom watching the Maisa Yibam? Again, we're not learning Yivamis, so it's not really our sugi, but it's a good Shiloh. Does a Maisa Yibam need to have two Edom? Now, what are the sides of the Chakira? We learned many times that Kedusha needs to have two Edom, and that's Edei Kiyum HaDavar. The Edom make the Kedusha. Is there such a thing called Yibam, the Edom make the Yibam? Or from the fact that Yibam is done by Karchai, from the fact that Yibam is done without her knowledge, and the fact that you don't need her consent, does that mean that Behechrich it's not like that type of a Kinyan? It's a big deal, a lot of raid about this Shiloh, about whether or not he needs it. So he asked the following Kasha. My Rebbe asked the same Kasha. Minisareinu lefi Ashit Amuva B'Bei Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel Taka Paskins, and it sounds like that from the Ramo also, the Bias Yibam Tzricha Edom, that every time a Yavam lives with a Yavam, you need to have Edom. Im Kain, Yitachem B'Yavim Tasha'an Sabla Edom. So he affected Kasha. What was Taisvis's big problem? Taisvis's Kasha was, Yushami's Kasha was, if it's Eishes Achiv, every Bia with my Eishes Achiv is Yibam, and every Yibam is a Mitzvah. Not true. If you hold, you have to have Edom to make it a Bias Mitzvah. So why can't it be that I was honest my sister-in-law with no Edom? So the Bia was a Bia sister, wasn't B'makim Mitzvah, and therefore I tshayach to have Einis U'mafata. Taisus made it sound like that every time you'll live with your Eishes Achiv, it will automatically be a Kima Mitzvah Sibam. Why? There are scenarios that you need to have Edom. And why can it be there were no Edom? This is the Kasha Taka my Rebbe asked. Now, the reason why I thought this Kasha was a little far-fetched was so that if there was no Edom, how do you prove the Einis U'mafata? I mean, what's going to happen over there? No one wants. So what's going to happen? You're going to have a hearsay. He's going to be Maida. He's going to be Maida. He was Ma'anis or Maida B'Kanas Potter. And he's going to be Machisher. Well, like, how's this going to play out? So he talked about Vornzis of Zedal Epstein. He writes, if there's no Eidim, there's no Kanas. V'alpi Atzmi Potter. And it's not going to work if he admits because Maida B'Kanas Potter. So he writes, what's it, how's it Shaykh? So he says, you talking about Eidim Achorei HaGeder. What happens if they're Eidim behind the wall? Deheim ra'u v'hayovam v'hayivam lo yodu mehem. If the Yavam and the Yavam don't know that they're there, but they're there. The Eidim ke'elu einam klum gabi kedusha came before b'shulchan aruch. Those type of Eidim wouldn't work for kedusha. And presumably wouldn't work for Yivam if you hold Yivam needs Eidim. But that Eidim would work for einus mefata. It's a fact of kasha. Why does Taisus, why Yushalmi? Why does Yushalmi make it sound like every B.S. Yavam is automatically going to be a kima mitzvah? It's not true. I can have a situation where the guy's man is his sister-in-law, where no one's watching, he doesn't watch anyone, he takes it to a private room, lo and behold, there's a camera in the room, the camera's watching it, so they catch on tape, he's ma'anis, so that's Einus Mefata, but that's not ages for Mitzvah Sibum, so boom, you have a situation where there's no Mitzvah Sibum. Azay Frek the Kash. Now again, it's not so posh, that's the way we paskin. The pashtus of the Ramah sounds like that, but not everyone agrees. There's a big deal in the paskin. Again, the lumdish way to be masberit has a lot to do with how do you understand Yibum. Is Yibam like Kedushin, or is Yibam not like Kedushin? Is Yibam like Sekinyan? There's a lot of Lomdish Yivam is Dikarayed, which we will not get into this morning. So he wants to say like this, Omdom, Tanin Reb Zeid Alepstein, Zeh Poshet, should be Yibam Yahanu Edim Ke'elu. It says a Chiddush. It says, the reason why this is not a Kash is because if you talk of Edim anywhere in the room, those Edim will suffice, even if the Yavam and the Yivam don't know that they're there. Why? The Tam Shein Edim Achor Ha'agedim Oilim B'Kedushin, Shein Heim Mechab Nashim Kedushin. Kimin Shiyoidim Shabbala Edim Eim Asim Klum. Says, why does it work if I go over to a girl? This is the old classic story. A guy goes over to a girl, gives her a ring, and there's no Edim. So what's the Bichoshish for Kedushin? He can always claim, I was joking. I know that you need to have two Edim. There's no Edim in the room. I'm joking. So therefore, if he doesn't know that the Edim are there, it doesn't work. But by Yibum, what are you going to tie now? I didn't know the Edim in the room, and therefore what? That's not the reason why I need two Edim by Yibum. You don't need two Edim by Yibum for consent. You need two Edim by Yibam to make the Chalois. So there are two Edim who watched it. Bishlama by Kedushin, the Edim's role is not just to create the Chalois. The Edim's role is to show that you consented, you both were serious about it, and you weren't joking. Mashenke, when it comes to Yibam, that's not an issue. Was joking about what? Yibam, there's no consent, there's no will, there's no want, it's just a Maisa. Then the Edim just have to see it. So the Edim saw it. So therefore, he times this can't be a Nafkemina. Because either
maybe
way.
Maybe by Yibam, you can be Machali between the Mitzvah of Yibam and the Kinyan of Yibam. Maybe to do the full mitzvah of Yibam, you need to have Edim. But even without Edim, the
kinyan
of Yibam will
work. Yeah, we could probably go down that route and discuss split the mitzvah of Yibam, the active Yibam into two, 100% Seth. I think so. I think there's a lot to talk about that. So I grabbed my Rebbe wanted to tie in a cute teretz. I think this is what he said. And again, I can't say for sure because this is what I wrote 20 years ago when, I'm assuming it's still right. He said an interesting lomdish teretz. He wanted to say the answer to this kasha could be is that if you have a woman who's oimed to lose her psulim, maybe she taka doesn't get psulim even now. Meaning, ena chanami, this woman is oimed to get bia done to her. Not every woman in the world is oimed to have to lose her psulim. Most women lose their psulim. Most women will eventually have bia and lose their psulim. But this woman, we know for sure, she's zakuk lekach, she's zakuk leyibum. So maybe a za woman who's oimed to lose her psulim, maybe she taka is considered she doesn't have psulim now already. Maybe that was Yushalmi's kasha. Meaning, maybe we look at it as if now she already lost her psulim. Because she's going to lose them. Someone's going to take them away from her. It's not the question of, normally it's a question of, who has the right to take? No one has the right. The brother-in-law has to remove her psulim. Because that's the mitzvah of Yibam. So maybe an azal woman, it's a shtickle chiddush, but it's an interesting pshat. Maybe a woman like this, who's oimed to lose her psulim vade by this man, maybe we look at it now as if she's already considered she has no besulim, they're already gone. Or let's rephrase it. There's no specific godless given to her to have besulim, and therefore maybe she wouldn't have knas. Maybe that was what was bothering the Yerusham. Okay, take it or leave it, it's an interesting deher. And then he goes a step weiter, this Reb Zeidel Epstein. And again, this is a fascinating Chubas Reb Kiva, which I came across before I saw this shtekel. Again, not our sugya, but just interesting. There's an interesting Chubas Reb Kivega. Reb Kivega was actually responding to his son. We were discussing the shayla of the following. What happens if a guy goes over to the Yavama and he's boiler and he says, Hinani mochru mezoman the kayim shaloi rotza liknois lo. He says, I bedavka don't want to be kind to you. I don't want to do even, I just want to have a nice beer. He says it explicitly mefurash. Does that change the situation? So Pashas, you say,
well, not the curse of the Torah, no?
Right. Pashas, you say, who cares? Who cares what you want? Yibam is a Maisa. You did the Maisa, that's it. You lived with it, you lived with it. I don't care what you were thinking. Were you thinking pure thoughts, not pure thoughts? Were you a tzaddik? I don't care. The Maisa, you live with the woman. That's the Maisa of Yibam. That's where the Reb Kveger comes out. But he quotes over here from his son, Shlomo Eger, who says, no. A big chiddush in Hilchas Yibam. Again, I don't think we'll ever say Shira Maseches Yibam. At least I won't. I shouldn't say never. You never know. But if we never get to Yibam, it's kedai to mention this Reb Kveger. Reb Kveger quotes from says over in the Tshuva from his son that his son thinks that if your guy goes over to the Yivama with intent not bedavka not to be kainer, she's not kainer. Which is a gevaldik chiddush. Now this is really where Seth Your Shtigl Torah comes much more into play over here. Here we're going to have to split the Maisa Kinyan with the Maisa Mitzvah. Maybe your Das can help not to be Kainah, but your Das can't change the Maisa Mitzvah. If the Torah says...
Don't we all do the Din D'Oraisa Mitzvah Srikos Kavanah? So this is
the
Din D'Oraisa...
Yeah, I'm not so sure over here. I'm not so sure how this would work with Mitzvah Srikos Kavanah. It's a good observation. I'm not so sure how exactly... Mitzvah Srikos Kavanah might mean I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do. The basic level of Mitzvah Srikos Kavanah means I'm doing... why am I living with my sister-in-law? This is repulsive. That's Hashem told me to do it. Now, what did Hashem tell me to do? Hashem told me to live with her. I'm now thinking that I'm living with her, but I don't want to be kind to her as a wife. Now, that might be against the Torah. The Torah says when you live with her, she becomes your wife. But it's again way beyond our scope this morning. But just I thought it was a fascinating thing. So now that makes the kasha again. So for Ektiv Zedel Epstein, him can yitachin shema ansa beferish leilik noisi. So another way you can get around it: how he was ma'anis his sister-in-law, but he had in mind that he doesn't want to be kind to her. Then the situation could still be applicable. Why? Because he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah with that ma'isabia. Now, if it was, again, Seth is Zahara is correct. We can either say maybe he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah, or he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah, he is kainer, he's not kainer. He's assuming it's a package. If you're not kainer, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah. And if you're not mekayim the mitzvah, so then you're subjected to knas. Okay, I thought it was a cute way, perhaps, in the lumness of Yibam to get around this kash. Now, the Shita Mekubetz says, okay, so let's go back to Tosfos for 1 second. Number two. So what did we just say? What's the case of Eishes Achiv? The case of Eishes Achiv is what? That the guy's brother was married to a woman. The brother died. He had children from a previous marriage. There's no Yibum. But what relation did she have to the first husband? So the Tosfos told us they had Eirusin. Why did Tosfos say they had Eirusin and not Nisuin? So the simple answer is because if they would have Nisuin, and then the husband would die, even if the two of them never had been together or Bisulim were intact, there would still be no Knas because of the Rambam Shita that once you become in the Suah, you lose rights to Knas. And that's why it's an Eris. But Taisus has a very big problem now. Frak Taisus, because Shalari Ber Avram, the Repop, or the Mokiach Masisi Ben Mephotel Perak Ben Sayyidim Mayrer, the Gemara has a Cheshvin Sanhedrin, the coins are Repop, but the whole Mishnah is by Mephatel. Not Oinus, only Mephatel. Not rape, but only when you convinced her. So Frank Tyson, the following kasha, Tikshi, Dehechi Motzi Lok Mahachi. How could the case of Eishes Achiv be where she was married to my brother, they had the first stage of marriage, then the brother died, and then I was ma'anasar? Impossible. Why? If it's mefut, if we're talking about that, it's not ma'anas. It was consensual. But he convinced her, he was mefat to her. Frank Tyson, 1 second, Dehechi Motzi Lok Mahachi. Hanis Arsav and his garasha, Knosa La'atzma. The halach is if a woman is on her own, she's out of her father's rishos, and then knas comes her way. It goes to her. Now, whenever a girl is by herself and it's mefata, there's no knas. Why? Kedamina migemara. The Gemara says a bereish naira mishum de medaita ofda. She did it consensually. Again, she agreed to it. Bishlam, if you're an honest girl, so if it's a regular girl, you're mefata, the money goes to dad because dad says very nice. She agreed to, but I'm the boss. You were mafata my daughter. You took my nice 12-year-old girl. You told her you're going to be a big hotshot doctor one day, and she should marry you, and she should live with you. And so you convinced her, but I didn't consent. So pay me. But if the dad's out of the picture, let's say the girl grew up as Yisayma, her dad is out of the picture. There's no father, or she was previously married, and once she gets married, she leaves her father's rishos, and her husband is out of the picture because he dies or divorces her. So she's a free bird. So now, when it comes to mafata, there's no mafata to her. You agreed to live with this guy. He sold you a bill of goods. He told you how fantastic and wonderful he is, and you bought it. Fine. So you don't get knas for that. So for Taisus, if the whole Gemara Mishnah is mefateh, and according to this Yushalmi, we're talking about that she already left her husband's rishos. So if she left her husband's rishos, and who gets the knas? She gets the knas. If she gets the knas, there is no knas because she consented. So how do you go back to the Mishnah now? Azay for Taisus. So for Taisus, Mishum de Medaita of the Vichitema. Okay, so Taisus says. That's Taisus's kasha. Now let's take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes for a second. Number four, Berg Shemaka kasha. Says the Shita Mekubetzes like this: V'hashda damin on tahavu lekiman demasti behed yeshigirsho. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, he goes like Rashi. He's going like Rashi. That the case is not that there was a death, but there was a divorce. So says the Shita Mekubetzes, this is much more geshmak. Hilchach ein lahakshes l'rav papa the mugi achma sisim b'mafot v'peg ben tzayir meirer kibin in his arsim in his garish knos al atzma kibin al atzma b'mafot ein l'knas. Says the Yishidim Kabbat, says now that we're going like Rashi, Taisvis' kasha is not a kasha. Amazing. The Yishidim Kabbat says that this kasha of Taisvis, that if the girl's marriage ended, it's only a kasha, and if her marriage ended, so she's a free bird. If she's a free bird, the knas goes to her. The knas goes to her. There is no knas. That's only a kasha on Taisvis, not a kasha on Rashi. Why is it not a kasha on Rashi? If she got divorced, so she's a free bird. If she's a free bird, knas goes to her. If knas goes to her and it's mefateh, there is no knas. So why is it only a kasha on Taisus and not on Rashi? So listen to the Shita Mekubetzes. Kaval, he says, I can make an akimta, which we'll be to talk more about today. I can make an akimta where the girl was specifically not meichel the knas. She wasn't meichel the knas. Fine. So why can't you say the same thing for Taisvis? Avala Taisvis cause of Alisha Zachar Pirsha Ben Echananel. He says, well, no, but you can't do that for Taisvis. Why? Listen to this, Gevaldik. He says, because in Rashi you can make an akimta that the girl was Meichel Knas. So why can't I make the same akimta for Taisvis? Said the Shidduk Batz, because in Taisvis' world we made too many akimtas already. Why? Because in Taisvis' world you had to make an akimta that he was previously married and had children from another marriage. Now you want to make another akimta that she was Meichel Knas. Said the Shidduk Batz, too many akimtas in the Mishnah. You can't do that. A very fascinating Shita Mekubetzes. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, Bishlomo, according to Rashi, where the Mishnah is talking about when they got divorced, no akimtas. When it says Eish Yizachiv, it means divorced. Simple. So then I can make an akimta that she was Meichel the Knas. But says the Shita Mekubetzes, but in Taisvis' world, I already had to make an akimta that they got divorced, that she died. And she died, and how do I get around Yibam by answering she had children from a previous marriage, he had children from a previous marriage, and now you want to make another akimta that she was Meichel the Knas? Says the Shita Mekubetzes, Kule Ayvaha, you can't do that. So therefore, says the Shita Gevaldik, and this would be our kasha to Abdavid, an answer to Abdavid Kviat. Why did Rashi learn Gerushin and not death? Because according to this, Shita Mekubetzes says, Gerushin solves the second kasha of Taisvis. If you say that they got divorced, then you can make the akimta that she was Meichel Knas. But if you hold like Taisvis, that he actually died, then you have the problem of Yibam. How do you get around the problem of Yibam by making a kimta that he died with children from a previous marriage, but then you can't turn around and make another akimta and answer that she was Meichel the Knas. Very, very nice shtickle Torah from the Shita Mekubetzes as to why the kasha of Taisvis is only on Taisvis and not a kasha on Rashi. As I fact Taisvis, that's Taisvis' kasha. Now, if we go back to Taisvis for a second, Taisvis points out something interesting, which most of us wouldn't think twice about, but it is subject to a machloikis rishayim. What did Taisvis tell us? What did it say in the Yerushalmi? It said in the Yerushalmi that the husband died. Right? The Ayri b'meis min eris. Then Taisvis said, well, didn't have matzi lukme kisha girsha. It's the same thing as if they would have got divorced. Now, right? That's the same thing that they would have got divorced. Now, when Taisus asked the Kasha, Taisus Tikshi, Hechi Mati Lukme Hachi Hodin Sarsav in his Garsha. Taisus asked the Kasha from a case of when they got divorced, not from a case where they died. So the Maram points out it's the same thing. Getting divorced and dying is the same thing. It's all going to be the same status. Even though there is a Shittis Rishayim that holds not like that. But it's just interesting, when Taisus asks the Kasha, he doesn't ask it from the case of death. He asks it from the case of divorce, but the Maram points out in number 6, no, it's the same thing. Death or divorce is the same thing. The husband frees her. Once she is freed, knas la'atzmai, if knas la'atzmai, then already we have a kasha on how to learn our sugya. Now, Taisus continues. Taisus' kasha is what? That if the Mishnah talk about Mefate, and she is out of her father's rishos because she got married and divorced, or married and lost her husband, so there is no knas. So, Frek Taisvis, Vichy Tema, maybe you'll tell me, the Kasavar Tanan de Masnissin, Rabbi Akiva de Braisa. Maybe I'll make an akimta that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds it even after a woman is out of her father's rishus, because she got married, still, the Knos alaviyav, the Knas still goes to the father. Okay, that would answer the kasha. Why? Because we're talking about a case where she lost her husband, they got divorced, but still, knas goes to dad. And therefore, knas will still go to dad in this case also. Everything's beautiful. Says Tosfos, not so fast. Im kein, akati tikshalei seifa. Nope, you can't say that. Because then the seifa makes no sense. What's the seifa? The Ketani says in the end of our Mishnah, habala bite potter. The guy is ma'anis, his daughter. He's potter. Why? Mishnah, kim lebe de rabbinine. So Frek Tosfos, kim lebe de rabbinine. I got a much better reason. Typically, the knos al avi have it. If we're going like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds all knosses goes to fathers in all situations, so here also, the ila atzma, if the knos would go to her tikshi, the machla, she was meichlet. Umemanavshach tikshi seifa. Either way, the seifa is going to be shver. How do you explain when the guy is boiled his own daughter? Of course there's no knos, because he's not going to pay his right pocket to his left pocket. So says Taisvis, miu bi Yushami mukilo kishibo aleho ad shaloi meis. The Yushami has an answer to this kasha. The guy was Boyle's daughter when he was alive, obviously. And then, before they had a chance to bring it to Bezdin, the father died. Umeis. The father died before Amod Bedin. Or vuhadin ad shaloi bagra ubagra. Let's say, for example, he lived with his daughter before she became a Begeris. Then, when they finally got to Bezdin, she was already a Begeris. And therefore, at the time of Hamad Abedin, the father's out of the picture. And therefore, in that case, the girl gets the knas. As I zog Taisvus. Now again, we're going to have to come back to discuss this at length, but that's what Taisvus says. I just want to read through Taisvus. Then Taisvus drops another bomb on us. Ulamai the Omab Yushami de Mefut the Ene Poiter Elami Boish Begam Avu Knas Ene Chaylim Chayl. But Zog Taisvus, you should know the Yushami disagrees with the Bavli. The Bavli holds that if a girl is consents and her father's out of the picture, she's Meichel Knas. Yushami says, no, a girl cannot be Meichel Knas. The only thing the girl can be Meichel is the boy she's a Pagam. But the actual Knas, she can't be Meichel. Therefore, says Taisus, Asi Shaper, then everything is beautiful. If you hold like the Yushami that the girl has no right to be Meichel Knas, then the Mishnah is beautiful. Even though the girl already left her father's Rishos, her father's out of the picture. But so what? The Yushami holds girls can't be Meichel Knas. That's the way Taisus comes to a close. Okay, so there's a lot over here that we need to deal with in this Taisus. So let's start off with the Taisus Rush, bottom of the page. So the Taisus Rush goes through the same cheshbon as Taisus. B'yushalmi parach eishiz achi vivimtehu v'tiris goin sheish labonim isha acheris, de'enus kukli yavim. The Taisus Rush has the same kasha of what do you do with the fact that there's yivim. So the first answer is no, the brother had children from a previous marriage, and therefore there's no yivim. Inami, another answer, b'eishiz achi v'me'imoy, or because they were only brothers from the mother. These are all terutzim we saw last week. B'yirashi pirish, then he quotes Rashi. Rashi says what? She irsi ochi v'girsha. That they had eris and they got divorced. The kasha for Taisa kasha, my mishalom knas. 1 second. Didn't the Shita Mikubeses just tell us that if you hold like Rashi, it's not a kasha? Right? Because if you hold like Rashi, it's not a kasha. Why? Because according to Rashi, you're not making any akimtas in the Gemara. You're not making any akimtas according to Rashi. You're just saying they got divorced. So if they're not making any akimtas, so what's the simple answer to the kasha? The simple answer to the kasha is what? She was Meichel. Says Yushami Tais Rosh to the bottom Yishloima, the Mayri ki goin shapirsha shaloi machla haknas. This mamash works out beautifully with the Shidim Kobetzis. The Tais Rosh only asked the kasha and Rashi. If you hold like Rashi, that we're talking about where there was a divorce, so then you have a very, very geschmack answer. You can always answer where the girl said beferish, I'm not machla haknas. But told us the Shidim Kobetzis, if we're talking about a case of the other situations, now, when he asks Vikasha, who's he asking on? All of the above pshatim? Or only on Rashi's pshat. If the Taisus Rosh was asking on all of the pshatim, then this is not like the Shita Mikubetzis. Because the Shita Mikubetzis told us that if you're going to make an akimta that where they have children from another marriage, you can't turn around and tell me that she was Meichel, because that's too many akimtas. You see from the Taisus Rosh, not like that. The Taisus Rosh brought down all of the pshatim, and he still answered an akimta where the girl was Meichelit. So the Chayr, you see from this Taisus Rosh, not like the Shita Mikubetzis. The Shita Mikubetzis told us that if you hold like Taisus, that you're making an akimta in the Mishnah that she had children from another marriage, you can't make another akimta in the Mishnah that she was Meichel. Too many akimtas. But L'chayr, you see from the Taisus Rosh, not like that, because the Taisus Rosh has the kasha. He had the kasha on all of his pshatim, L'chayr. The kasha is going back on all pshatim. Unless you want to tell me the kasha is only on Rashi's pshat. Doesn't sound like that from the Taisus Rosh. It sounds like the kasha is on all of the above pshatim. Whatever pshat you'll tell me, I still have a kasha. Why? Because now she's free. If she's free, she gets her own kanas. So to Taisus Rosh, I'm making a kimta where she was Meichel HaKnas. So this Taisus Rosh is against the Shita Mikubetzis. Okay, Machloikis Rishonim. But what's the answer? The answer of the Tosfos Rashi is they're making a kimta where the girl said explicitly, "I don't want to be moichel the knas. I'm not moichel the knas. I know you're being mefati me. I know I'm agreeing, but I'm screaming chai v'kaim. I don't want to be moichel." So now, what's the $1 million kasha? Why didn't Tosfos just say that? So according to the Shiduka Betzes, Tosfos couldn't say that because if we're talking about a case where it was yibum, you can't make that a kimta. But what about a lumdus? Is there a reason a lumdus where Tosfos couldn't have answered like this? Tosfos Rashi, it's a Tosfos Sanhedrin. Tosfos Sanhedrin gives the exact same answer. We're talking about a case of a mafuta where the girl goes into it saying to herself, "I am not forgoing my knas. I know that I have rights to it, and I'm not forgoing it." So why didn't Tosfos answer like that? So there's Rebbe Kiveger over here. It's Kedai to see. Kiveger number 8. In the early, the great Litvish Rosh Hashivas, Mamash used to hold Rebbe Kiveger like a Rishon. They say when Rebbe Chaim used to organize his Svarim, he used to put them in order of Rishonim Achronim. And he put like Rebbe Kiveger on the Rishonim shelf. He Mamash held Rebbe Kiveger to be a Rishon. They say Shlomo Haiman, the great Taravadas Rosh Hashiva, wasn't Rosh Hashiva Taravadas for so many years. He was also a very, very into Rebbe Kiveger. Like the Mamash held Rebbe Kiveger on the highest. He saw someone carrying Rebbe Kiveger not with the most respect. He yelled at him, "You have to hold Rebbe Kiveger close to your heart." These Gedolim, the Litvisha Gedolim of the previous generation, had an unbelievable admiration and Chashivas Rebbe Kiveger. They break their teeth on every shtick of Rebbe Kiveger. He was, the Mamash learned him as a Rishon. So Rebbe Kiveger over here has a kasha. So let's see Rebbe Kiveger's kasha, number 8. So again, what was Tosfos' answer? Tosfos says, we're talking about where the brother died. So then Tosfos had a follow-up question. If the brother died, so then she gets the knas. So if she gets the knas, so why does the Mishnah say there's knas? She's moichlut. So for Rebbe Kiveger number 8, v'hiksha olav ha-riva, eich muki reb papa v'l'masisa b'mafota v'inisaris v'iskarish knas la'atzmoy, v'kim d'l'atzmoy v'fota in l'knas. V'yish loyma. Says Rebbe Kiveger, I have a very geshmak of teretz. Listen to this, Rebbe Kiveger's creativity. The mishkachas she'avio kiddush oisai. What happens? The girl doesn't know what's going on. She's a 12-year-old girl. She's at home. Dad's on a business trip. Dad comes across a wonderful gentleman. And he says, "You know what? I want you to marry my daughter." So he gives the kiddushin to the father. The father's in the kabbal kiddushin. She'avio kiddush oisai v'kibbal aget. It happens so fast. They get married and divorced before the girl even knows about it. Right? Talk about not telling your daughter things, right? Here, you married her off. And you got a divorce without her even knowing. So says Rebbe Kiveger, Shalomi Daitei, Kedim Shenispatata. Wow, look what this girl went through. She got married, divorced, and espata all in a small time frame. But she had no idea that she was divorced. Vekivan de Bishasa Pito, if he daitei the Svaro de Hipnuya, Vaknas Lovia, Loyoda Voloimachlo. For Rebbe Kiveger, I got a very simple scenario. Not like Tosfos in the Tosfos Rosh, where she explicitly said she was Moichel. She probably didn't know. She thought she was a single girl. She had no idea that she has rights to the knas. She thought the knas goes to dad. She thought she was a single girl, never married, never divorced, under her father's tutelage. So as far as she was concerned, when she was mefata, she was saying to herself, "This is all going to go to my dad. So whatever I consent to, the money's going to go to my father." And lo and behold, she was taka free bird. She had no idea. Her father married her. Her father divorced her without her knowing anything. Right? Obviously, this is against the Gemara of Asal Adam Shikadash Achi Yerenda. You're not supposed to get married until you see each other. Okay, it's at the Gemara in Kedushin. But nonetheless, so Rebbe Kiveger had a very geshmaka case. The case was what? His father married her off and got her divorced. Not the father couldn't have got her divorced, but they got divorced without her knowing. So when she gets in the spot that this 12-year-old girl gets seduced by some guy, she says to herself, "I am under my father's control." She has no idea that she's Moichel Knas. So B'shas Bia, says Rebbe Kiveger, there was no Mechila. So even though she could have, would have, but she didn't because she didn't know. She was free. So for Rebbe Kiveger, why can't that be the case of Tosfos? So we have two possible answers for Tosfos' kasha. Again, what was Tosfos' kasha? If we're talking about a girl who's on her own because her husband either divorced or her died, and then that makes her a free person, so any free girl who's not under her father's control has the right to be Moichel the Knas. So if she was Moichel the Knas, then there is no Knas. So how could that be the case of the Mishnah? So Tosfos said, no, create a territory, which we'll come back to. Tosfos Rosh says, simple. She wasn't. She said to herself, "I know I could, but I'm not. I see what you're doing to me. I know you're being befat to me, and I'm not giving up my rights to Knas." That was Tosfos Rosh's territory. And Kiveger said a simple territory, more creative territory, that the girl didn't know she could be Moichel. She had no idea. And therefore, she didn't know she was Moichel. You can't be Moichel something you didn't know. You could be Moichel. So now what's our kasha? Why didn't Tosfos either say like Rebbe Kiveger or like the Tosfos Rosh? So to that, we turn to another Slobodka Talmud. Today's Slobodka day over here. We'll see a Gevaldika Teretz in the Divya Cheskel, Cheskel Bronstein, who was also one of the lions. Yaakov referred to him as one of the best Talmidim of Slobodka in those years. You know, I told my mother that she told me that my her grandfather, my her father's father learned in Slobodka, but he learned in the 1920s in Slobodka. That wasn't the heyday of Slobodka. The 1920s was already the decline. I don't mean decline, but it wasn't the same Slobodka, because already in the mid-1920s, the Alter moved to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Mordechai Epstein went to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the same yeshiva as it was in the 1910. Reb Yaakov said, this is not my chiddush, I wouldn't know I was in the Slobodka. Reb Yaakov said that the heyday of Slobodka was like 1910 till World War I. That was when it was really the knacking place to be Slobodka. 1910 to 1914 was the prime years of the Slobodka yeshiva. After that already was, after World War I was tough, and then already once the Alter moved the yeshiva, half the Eretz Yisrael was already tough. But the prime time was when Cheskel Bronstein was there, the Divrei Cheskel, which we'll get to in a few minutes. That was mamish like in the early 1900s till leading up to World War I. So the kasha is, why didn't Taisu say like these two terutzim? Reb Kveig is a terutz, Taisu Rosh is a terutz. So to that we turn to Aran Ksubas. The Aran Stam is they bothered with. How exactly is a girl moichel the rights to mefat? Again, the cases where the father's out of the picture. Father died, she's yesoima, she's her own bird, she's her own person. So she has rights to the knas, so we say she's moichel the knas. So the Ram quotes a Ramban in number 9. The Ramban writes like this, because of a Ramban, the mistavra command oma shiochol limchol loiknoso, achapish loizochse ba'adayin. Again, she's not zoich in the knas yet until later. Talamod medin. Not at the time of the bia. The halomazet doima lekoisiv larusasa dinu dvarim ainli b'nechseich b'chayecha ubemoisech the kaimalom de meisa ina yosha the nachla bol adam makamacha kloimesha achshav ina ruy loy kain arusasa zu adam masna aler shal yoshena ulafuki which is aviv she ruy loy says the rabbana shtikal Torah. It's something called siluk. I can remove myself from an obligation or from a right to something. Says the Ramban, that's how it works over here. The girl removes herself. She's misalik herself her rights to get knas. So at the time of when she lives with the man, she says to herself, I am misalik, I'm giving up all rights that I have to obtain money at a later time. That's one way to understand how this shtick works. Misalik, you remove yourself. Like the first mission in the ninth parak of Ksubis, where a husband writes, I don't have anything to do with your nechasim. I'm removing myself. I'm misalik myself from the hischayivus. That's one pshat. V'oid, says the Ramban, another pshat. The kivish in the siratzis b'shas bia hechi yischayif. Says the Ramban, I have a different pshat, and this is at least the way the Divrei Cheskel learns it. That the Ramban saying a different pshat. That how could the husband, how could the boyel have to pay? If I agreed to allow to live with you, b'shas bia hechi yischayif arehu ka'oma karashi roin shali v'yipater. It's as if I gave you permission. If the girl agreed to the man comes over to her and says, listen, I'm going to be worth $1 million one day, I'm fantastic, I'm amazing, I'm going to be the best husband you ever have. And she says, okay, fine. Now, how can this guy have to pay her? Zok de Ramban, it's as if I come over to you and say, you know what, break my house for me. But Zok de Ramban, at the time when you had this ma'aseh, again, the chi of knas starts at Amad Bedin. But the ma'aseh right now, When the girl is confronted by the man, when she's confronted by the man, it's as if she basically tells the man, or the man tells her, I'm giving you permission. She's telling him, I'm giving you permission to do what you want with me. How can you have to pay for that? So let's just jump very quickly to number 10, to the Divrei Cheskel. Zogtev Cheskel Bronstein from the Slobodka. He said this, V'hine v'heim shnei tamim nifrodim. Says the Divrei Cheskel, you know, this little ram is two separate pshatim. What does he mean? The karak susi hu ptur be'etzem ha'mais. When I ask you to rip my shirt, and I promise you I'm not going to make you pay, what am I saying? That's the ptur and be'etzem ha'mais, the k'moy da'amin al yinazikin, the mazik b'shus enol of toiras mazik. The pshat is that the act that you're doing is not a bad act. It's not the pshat that what you did was wrong, but I waived the penalty. There was no bad act over here. Because I consented to you to rip my shirt, that you're not even a mazik now with a ptur tashlum. You're a mazik, you're not a mazik. Very tifa understanding. Says the Divrei Cheskel, when I give you permission to damage me, it's not the pshat, well, you're a mazik, but you have permission, and therefore I waive the penalty. You're not a mazik, because you had permission to do it. When a guy demolishes someone's house to build a new house, the pshat is, well, he's a mazik because he destroyed a house, but there's no ptur because I, no, you're not a mazik. When you have permission to damage, you're not a mazik. So he says like this. That's all true in the second pshat. But time the havli komolay resource didn't dvarim v'chaseich. V'umitam siluk. the moyol al etzem achiyav. The bekoyach adam l'salak atzmi mizchus shabai de meisiv. He says, but the first pshat not going like that. The first pshat saying avada, what you're doing is wrong, and the act that you're doing of being mefatmi is wrong. But I'm removing myself. I'm removing myself from the rights to collect the knas. But what you're doing is wrong. You're doing a maisa mefatmi. But I'm willing to step away, be mesalik my rights. So he wants to say like this. So what's the divrei chazal saying? There's two different pshatim in the Ran. One pshat is siluk means that avada is a sibas hamechayev, but I'm walking away from it. The second pshat is not even a sibas hamechayev because what you did wasn't even wrong. Says the divrei chazal very geshmak now. He said that's the answer to the kashas. Our Tosfos holds like the second pshat, that the reason why every mefata is potter is because it's consensual, and when it's consensual, it's like I'm giving you permission. So if I'm giving you permission, there's no maisa mefata here. You didn't do anything wrong because I agreed. If I agreed, then there's no way to pay. So what was Tyson Rush's answer? Oh, you were Michael. What do you mean you were Michael? You weren't Michael. I don't need you to be Michael. The fact that you consented to allow me to be mefata you automatically define this act as not being mefata. Whether you say it or you don't say it. It's not a Maisa Hezek. It's not a Maisa Mefata. It answers the Kvegas Kasha. What was the Kvegas Pshat? Why don't we say we're talking about a case where she didn't know? You don't need her to know. Once she agrees to live with the man, the act is now consensual. Consensual is not a Maisa Mefata. End of story. Therefore, I don't care whether she knew or didn't know. Therefore, says the Divrei Chazal Lefizeh, answers up why Tosfos didn't go like the Tosfos Rosh, because Tosfos wasn't going with that Lomdus. Tosfos was going with the Lomdus that the Pshat is not that I removed myself from the chiyuv. The first side of the Ramban, that there's really a chiyuv, but I removed myself from it. No, there is no chiyuv, because if I consented to the act is no longer bad. So if the act is no longer bad, I don't need to specifically say, I'm not Michael. Who cares if I say I'm not Michael? The act was not bad. If I allowed you to live with me, the statement I made was, I'm consensually giving in. If I'm consensually giving in, then the act is not a maisa mefata. Therefore, says the Divrei Cheskel, B'chon Wasserman says the same lumdus also. This would answer up both kashas of why Tosfos didn't look like the Tosfos Rosh, as well as why did Reb Kveger's teretz not work for Tosfos as well. Rabbi Sefer, can I have everyone's attention for just one moment, please? With Blineder next week, we'll continue on this topic. And Mr. Shem, Tuesday night, we'll be discussing Bas B'chalav. We'll be discussing having two sets of dishes, and we'll discuss the complications of the oven. I just want to just, for 2 seconds, if I can hold everyone's attention, if you can just give me 2 seconds, is that there's a special schus, Rabbi Yisrael, in the Cedarhurst community that is now housing a koil. And I take a lot of pride in the Cedarhurst community because I grew up there a little bit, a few years after my parents moved, before I got married. And I think having a koil in any community is an unbelievable schus for the community. It's a tremendous schus. I think it's a tremendous shmira. I think it's an amazing thing for any community. And Baruch Hashem, there's now an active community koil in Cedarhurst. And I just, if you can just give respect in a few minutes, just to listen to the Reish Koil, just discuss a little bit, familiarize you with what the koil has to offer, just so this way everyone is aware and everyone knows the beauty and the wonderful milas that the koil has to make the community even more beautiful. Michael, is he on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you have a Kaufman?